seems like they want to tell us when we're supposed to get our meat and our fish. Well, I don't think that's right. We have religious beliefs with our animals. We respect our animals. I learned from my grandfather, my uncles, my father, to respect your animals and your land. And now the governor wants to start a task force to try to tell us how to run our lives. And I don't think that's right. And, I'm going to look into this issue more. And as chief of Hoosier, well, you know, I'm going to be doing a lot of talking for the people of Hoosier. And I'll try to do anything to work with the people that's going to take over subsistence. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else from Hoosier?
Yes, this is Catherine Atla from Hoosier.
Go ahead with your testimony.
Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about the path of living as a subsistent. I start out trapping and hunting and fishing as my income with my grandfather Olin. And my grandfather Olin was always scared of all the laws that non-natives was making, because we, back in 40, we live with game wardens. You hardly see them anymore. But the game wardens was this one guy, little Peter had. He was crippled, and only his wife and his daughter was trapping. And they were on the edge of the boundary, and they took all what little muskrat and beaver they were getting, and that's what scared people. And then Chief Henry said the same thing. Then the native people, especially me, as I didn't want to school, I'm always worried, just like my grandfather, because of what the non-native are doing to us all through these years. Where our ancestors were, where are they? We still believe in their spirit. We still talk to them. And just like we're just living in a fair all the time, ever since they started talk about subsistence from the federal government, all we do is worry. But we don't know where to start. We don't know how to talk to all the senators or governor or even to Washington, D.C. I wish I learned a little bit about urban life, the reading and writing. I would have tried to do more for my people. I came a long ways without not staying a classroom. I taught myself a little bit. Thank goodness I learned your language, your English language, because I didn't talk. I had only one language as my grandparents raised me. And when I first started talking English, I was talking the way my grandfather learned it and my grandmother. You wouldn't believe how they used to talk English, trying to talk English. So seem like we're in the same shoes from the time the non-natives came into the country, and especially right now taking over everything. What I really get mad about is why bother the wild animal, putting big collar on them, and like on goose. I told my buddy one time, one of the fish and wildlife, that how you would like to walk around with this. This summer, someone here found a goose with the neck worn out and finally died. Our people, our ancestors didn't did those things. Seem like the federal government or whoever it is doing more damage to our animals. We're not catching that much. We know how to limit them. Just like when you bank your money, you know how to budget it. That's the way us Native people operate in this Alaska. We only take so much a year. And back to the game wardens, where our people learn to be scared, they don't talk about how much mink, fox, beaver, of course you tack it. That's only one you know. Moose, very little. Seem like the Native people is more scared. And I don't know how we live with this subsistence, if they ever stop the subsistence. Right now, with our retirement, me and Stephen Atla, my husband, we barely live month to month. And if we started, that's without buying beef and chicken. And far as my husband's health, he can't eat those things. And to change our diet, we're not going to be healthy. We're not going to be happy. So I hope you people that know the Native people of Alaska, I hope you try to get together and try to do something about this, because we cannot live without subsistence. I don't know where they're getting. They're just getting us in the corner, seem like. That's the way I feel. I don't want to take too much time, and thank you very much for your opportunity.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have anyone else in Hootsuite? Do we have Nilotto or
Rose? My name is Rose Ambrose. I live in Hootsuite. I'm 69 years old, and from the time I'm pretty small, us people, we only live off the subsistence. Our parents had no job, and that's the only lifestyle we know. I went to school in Holy Cross Mission, which is way down lower Yukon. Even there, we have to live on fish and moose meat and garden. That's during the World War II. We would have had tougher time than that during the wartime if it wasn't for the subsistence. And all the way on through the years, we had no jobs all the way through. We would have never made it if it wasn't for a subsistence lifestyle. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else there to testify?
Yeah, this is Franklin Simon, Hootsuite. I've been trapping all my life and stuff like that. And, I'd like to know how you're going to do away with this wood snare and stuff like that. And, I'd like to snare a wolf, trap them, but I didn't know what's going on here. Thank you, this is Frank Simon.
Franklin, let me ask you a question. This is Georgiana. If subsistence, if there were a time of shortage and rural or bush Alaska, the villages did not have a priority, what would happen to the people in the villages in, as you see it? What would happen if there is no subsistence for the people in the village?
Oh, people will go down, that's for sure.
Go down how?
On our subsistence and stuff.
people, this was Catherine, the people without income, the family, what he meant go down is like due to their health, without their diet of meat and fish. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else there to testify?
I have a written statement here from Sidney Henry. This is what he told me, and I wrote it down for him. It says, "My name is Sidney Henry from Huslia. All my life is subsistence lifestyle. I was born in Alakak at 63 years ago, and I moved to Old Cutoff when I was 10. 1949, I moved to this new village, Huslia. In Alakakit, there was no welfare and old age pension check. At that time in Alakakit, all what we eat is fish, caribou meat, moose meat, that's all. We moved to Cutoff. There was Jack Sackett's store and Jim Huntington's store. So we stay in camp. Everybody stay in camp. That's how we have subsistence living. People live by trapping and hunting and fishing all these years. Long ago, we trap, hunt, and fish anytime we want because we know about how much to use in one area. We don't want it to run too low where it's no good. We know how to manage our trapping and hunting and fishing, and we want to help make these decisions about our area."
Thank you. How many more people do we have in Huslia?
There's, there's myself. This is Siza. And then there's other people who are on their way, and I was wondering, are we going to have another opportunity for testimony?
We have probably more than 100 people still here. So if we can go ahead and take the testimony that you have there now, we will try to come back to you, but we're going to go to the other sites and then come back to Galena if we don't have any more testimony now from there.
This is the bridge.
Okay. My name is Caesar Sam, and I'm 28 years old. I've been living a subsistence lifestyle all my life I also have a job, but to me, subsistence lifestyle is really important. If I couldn't subsist off the land and get the moose and fish that I eat every day, then I probably couldn't survive on the store-bought food alone. And I think that's what Franklin was meaning when he was talking about people will go down, is because a lot of our elders here in Huslia, they only eat meat or fish that they catch. And if they couldn't do that, then their health would go down because they're not eating right. And they won't eat only hamburgers or chicken. And it's not easy to live a subsistence lifestyle, but it's so important to me that I would do anything to live it. And I look forward to the chances when we go out hunting or fishing, because it makes me feel like a whole person. I feel complete, and I feel satisfied with myself when I could go out and do this. And I appreciate the Senate Resources Committee for going to Galena and giving us this opportunity to have testimony by teleconference. It really means a lot to us out here that we could voice our opinions with that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else now in Wisliya?
Not at this time.
Okay, we will try to come back to you, but we're going to go ahead and go on now and come back around. Bridge operator, do we have anyone in Nulato or Ruby?
No, you don't at this time.
Okay,
we have one more question from Wisliya.
To Galena then, and the next person on our list is Peter David.
Excuse me, this is the bridge. You're really breaking up.
We are having trouble with the mic here, but we'll just have to go ahead at this point. Excuse me a second. Let's see if we can improve it. Thank you. We have Jim Stevens. Lehman, did you have a question? Answered that. I just want to make sure that others here
be very clear with you, all of you, that in a time of shortage, talk about the allocation of our fishing game resources. You need to respect the users. And I think the population of Alaska needs to have a priority. Again, I would hate to see that our fishing game resources leaded to the point that we have to decide who gets the hunt and who gets the fish. I think that would be, I think that happens in the management game. Yeah. But I've talked about this in my way. In times of shortage, rather let the people need the have the. I believe there's a lot of residents.
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, one thing that you said that I don't believe I've heard any testimony, and I think this is our last place we're going for the testimony for public comment on the subsistence issue. But I've not heard anyone talk about the technology that is changing, that it is with the new technology that we're able to reach further into Bush, Alaska quicker. And I'd like for you to say a little bit more about that, because I've not heard that testimony before.
Yes, we've got now some people, the planes, can now get up as quicker, efficiently. We see this in the Iliamna area quite a bit, hunting season. Now, normally the animals stay away from the systems early in the season, and then they'll come in towards the last part of the hunting season. However, now with the access to the 06 beavers and they have the team depot, they can go out, feed us to the animals, get them before they're even ready to move. This was quite a bit, a big bull move. Not a whole lot. That prevents a lot of us from relying on something like this. Active. I'm also surprised that I'm not going to be in public hearing. If this is the only place that we're going to hear from, I don't think that we're getting a patient. We have many people here today that want to people. We'll never be able to hear them. Have a pretty valid point of view. Most respected man, Roger. May not get accepted. Oh, wait. All residents. Give them. We do not have the resources.
Let's go to, looks like Alaska John.
Here.
Mike's not working.
Pinolaro.
Nulato, we're glad you're back on. We're having trouble with the mics right here. We have somebody testifying. We'll come back to you.
Got disconnected, so we'll be waiting.
Hang it out.
Thank you. Who did we have on the teleconference that came back on? Hey, people, did we have in Nulato?
Yeah, we've got about 8 people here to testify. I'll get started here. My name
why don't
is,
you go ahead and go, but if we're going to go through, we'll try to go through all 8, but try to keep it down as short as you can so we can get back, because we have another 30 or 40 people here to testify, too.
Okay. Well, can you hear us good enough now?
We can hear you 5x5.
Okay, my name is Victor Nicholas. I'm the mayor for Nulato and also the tribal chief for Nulato. I wish we could be there today in person, but well, we don't have the finances, and that's a problem for another day, I guess. As I was thinking what to say to you, you have to bear with me because I'm going to read what I have to say here. As I was thinking what to say to you all, I kept thinking and asking myself, was there something that I can say that can really make a difference? Something, maybe one particular thing that will make you change your minds and make all of you allies for Nulato, for our native people, or even at least for all rural people. I don't think that's possible. The problem borders on too many things. It borders on sovereignty, native and aboriginal rights, religious rights, and right on down to basic human rights. On top of all this, I am not a polished politician or Martin Luther King who can move people through speech, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm sure you've heard this before about my people. How we were here for thousands of years, subsisting off the land. We were nomads, etc. And I believe that being nomads has worked to our advantage. We learned how to adapt. In some 50 years, we were forced to, in the last 50 years, we were forced to adapt to a different culture, a different lifestyle, a confusing lifestyle, with a different and even more confusing values. And because of the way the system is set up, we have lost some things, like our traditional lifestyles and our traditional culture, which is in tatters today and almost non-existent. The system we live under is good, and we have made sacrifices and concessions for it, such as the land we now live in. We live in a small box, bordered by state and federal and corporation land and private lands, when once it was all ours to share and use. Yes, we're willing to make the concessions. When you come right down to the food we eat, come on now, when is enough enough? We're not asking for exclusive rights. It seems pretty simple to me and to all of us out here that in time of need, we'll be given priority, not to just hunt, but to live. And if you don't, you will be making criminals out of all of us, because hunger is a pretty motivating factor. You probably wonder why we all just don't move to the city. Some of our people have, but for the majority of us, it is not an option. Not necessarily because we can't, although most of our people simply can't and yet survive. It is our lives. Some of us choose to live out here because of our family ties, our people, and our culture. We have survived for centuries out here, maybe not with all the luxuries you have introduced. Maybe luxuries is not the right word either. These things have become necessities. Yeah, we probably could survive out here without most things, but we need to eat to survive. That is why this thing you call a dilemma, an impasse, seems so simple to us. Thank you. We have other people here. Who wants to be next?
Go ahead with the next person.
Okay, stand by a second.
Hi, this is Tekla Smolk of Nalato. I just don't know how to start, but to who it may concern. Subsistence is our life, our living way of style. I was raised and born here in Nalato, living off the country. I moved to Fish Camp every spring, June 16, moved back in August 1st. Just fishing and doing everything for my family. I don't eat it alone. All my family use it. Out to Richmond, Virginia, Miami, Seattle, Fairbanks, and Hooslea. That's where all my grandkids is, and my grandkids use that food. And federal government, whatever you're trying to do is wrong. Why don't you back off and let the people have their way of style of living? Thank you.
Thank you. Could we take the next person there?
Yeah, my name is Morris McGinty, and I also am from Nalato. I've never really looked at subsistence as a problem, and so I never really got involved with the politics of it, simply because what Victor has stated earlier, subsistence to us is so simple. It's our way of life. And as you look back over the history of time, our people lived nomadically, spoke fluent Athabascan languages, and then we got introduced to the Western, white Western culture. The first thing they did was took away our Athabascan language and made us all speak English. As time went along, they started saying, okay, there's some people down lower 48 want to come up here and get some horns. So they started making all kind of rules and regulations that would control our way of using the fur and animals off our land that we so devotedly depended on to survive. And now you've got people in Washington, D.C., Juneau, all over the bigger cities in the state of Alaska trying to decide what's the best thing to do about subsistence. It's so simple. Let the rural people govern themselves. They are the best managers to the land and the wildlife resources that are on it. Thank you very much.
Next person there.
Okay, my name is Michael Stickman. I'm the second chief for the Nalato Tribal Council. And I have direct questions to Senator Rick Halbert and Senator Taylor. Yesterday morning, I was listening to the radio, and Congressman Don Young in Washington, he said that you two folks are the folks that are holding back from it becoming a vote to be put on the ballot. So my question is to you two guys, why are you guys holding back the whole state of Alaska from voting on making a rural priority an issue?
I'll answer that just for myself. Don Young never talked to me before he made those comments. As a matter of fact, when the press called me up to say that he'd said that, he told me that he hadn't said that. So I'm not really sure what Don Young was talking about. The proposals before us are the governor's proposal and the Stevens amendments. If you support those proposals, we'd like to hear that. At this point, I don't know what we have to put on the ballot, because everything that I've heard has been opposed to the constitutional amendment proposal provided for the governor's task force.
Okay. The only reason I said that was because I actually heard him say that on the radio yesterday morning.
Yeah, I heard him say that. It was kind of interesting. I got a call at about... I guess he said it at midday, but I got a call about 1 o'clock, so I called him up. And Don said, no, the press is misconstruing that. I didn't say any of that. And so then when I was driving home, I heard in Don Young's own voice on the radio him saying exactly what he said he didn't say. Now, maybe he had some bad medication when he had his heart problem. I'm not sure.
Okay, so, yeah, my only concern is that subsistence, you know. We need a rural priority, you know. We're not asking for a native priority because there are other people who live out here, and we share all our resources with them. So, you know, I just want to give the whole state of Alaska a chance to make a decision, you know, not have 12 individuals make a decision for the whole state. Thank you.
Could we have the next person there?
Hello, my name is Andy Durney. I'm what you'd call a non-native or a white man, but in real life I'm a full-blooded Hungarian. I appreciate your coming to Galena to listen to people here, but I think the people who will be most affected by these hearings aren't really being given an equal opportunity to testify. My understanding is you've had 4 or 5 hearings in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, and that's not the bush. Actually, people out in the villages here think Galena is the big city compared to Nulato, Keokuk, Kaltag, Ruby, Huxley, and all the other villages. I think what makes Alaska a great state is the efforts and contributions of all the citizens of the state, both urban and rural, native and non-native alike. As you know, the primary source of Alaska's wealth is the natural resources found in rural Alaska. Yet over the last few years, the legislature increasingly makes rural Alaskans feel like we're second-class citizens and that we're a burden on the state at the expense of our urban fellow citizens. And that's true of this subsistence issue as well as other issues. Over the last few years, the state has made budget cuts that affect rural Alaskans disproportionately. There's less money for schools. There's efforts to take money from rural schools and put them into the urban schools. We're affected more severely by state revenue sharing and municipal assistance cuts. There's no discretionary funding. The VPSO and trooper programs are cut. There's welfare reform, but there's no meaningful job opportunities. And the state is fighting tribal governments, and the tribal governments are the organizations that can best address some of these issues. At the same time that all this is happening, you're trying to tell us that people in rural Alaska can't hunt or fish in time of need. I don't understand that. Subsistence is often referred to as a lifestyle or way of life. I, from the testimony people have made today, I think it's clear we're going to ration you and you can only buy so much from cars or food land. Long before any of you were elected and long before any of us outsiders came here, people in Bush, Alaska fed themselves by hunting and fishing and gathering, and they still do that today. Just because we're partially dependent on a cash economy doesn't mean that rural Alaskans should be denied their traditional means of providing for themselves and their families or of giving up their worthwhile culture, customs, and values. Now, we hear a lot about the old culture is dying, and it is in some ways, but there's still a lot of good in the old traditions and customs, and it's not up to the urban legislators to force people to discard those customs or practices and values that are vital and worth keeping and that contribute to the uniqueness and the appeal of the state of Alaska. Now, I've lived in Nulato 26 years, and in the time I've been here, I've never yet once heard of anybody who got in a fight or beat up his husband, wife or husband, or drove around recklessly or hurt somebody because he ate too much fish or moose meat. Yet, I know that it's not unusual for the game warden, and you've heard people testify about this, that, you know, they'll fly around and they'll look for people who are hunting one day too early or fishing 1 hour too late. On the other hand, the state seems unwilling to make the same effort to provide or to prevent the illegal sales of alcohol or drugs to rural villages. And the state troopers and the VPSOs and anybody can verify that alcohol and drugs have caused more trouble and grief than anything else out here. But frankly, some people seem more worried about what happens to the fish and the moose than about what happens to the people who depend on them. And to me, the laws are a little out of focus here. The emphasis is a little out of focus. Lastly, I'd like to say that, you know, if we're a government of the people, and that's what we're told, that's what I was taught, that's what our elected officials tell us, although sometimes they forget that after they're elected. But if we're a government of the people, then why not let the people vote on this issue? Why not let the people of the state of Alaska decide? You know, a similar thing happened with the tobacco tax last year. The people of the state overwhelmingly supported the tobacco tax, but a few legislators tried to block that vote. Eventually, it was passed. People in the state, I believe, support the rural priority in time of shortage. But some legislators or some people, for whatever reason I don't understand, are trying to block that, and I don't think that's right. That's all I have to say, unless you have any questions.
You're not ready. Hello, are you ready for the next speaker?
Yes, we are.
Yes, my name is Peter Demoski. I'm the tribal administrator for the Nolato tribe. And first off, I want to express my appreciation for the legislatures for coming into Galena, even though they couldn't make it to Nolato, but that's all right. That's the first thing you probably hear from 1,000 people, no matter where you go, is the legislatures can't decide for the people in the rural areas. You need the full participation and consent of every Alaska Native community within Alaska. I know you legislatures can't hit every village in Alaska, all 226 of them, but you can spend 2 or 3 trips in each region. I don't see any problem with that. Before I forget, I just want to comment. It's a hard act to follow Sidney Huntington. He just about says everything what the elders want to say, what young people want to hear, and what legislatures should listen to. I just want to get that out of my mind. The subsistence issue, what you're calling it, isn't really a subsistence issue as far as I'm hearing. Subsistence is a way of life. What you're talking about is hunting, fishing, trapping priorities. Why don't we just call it that and don't try to confuse the people with the wide array of issues that are covered in subsistence? Okay. Now, the subsistence hunting, fishing, trapping issue, as we're talking about, is based on Alaska Native religious and spiritual needs-based system. Now, I don't have a preference for either state or federal takeover of fish and game management. Either agency will have pros and cons in their deliverance of management and regulations. If there was a choice, I'd throw the native choice in it, rural native. Okay, but that's an impossibility. You've probably heard this 1,000 times, and you're going to hear it 1,000 more times. The elder people who testify before you inform you of a way of life that's no longer possible anymore and that they wish it was like that. Unfortunately, that can't happen. Sometimes I wish we could go back 40, 50 years ago and live without state or federal interference. But that's an impossibility now. What must happen is a co-management system, not only between the state and the federal government, but with each Native community in the state of Alaska. If the state takes over, that doesn't mean the state controls fish and game on federal lands. that don't even mean the state has control on village corporation lands. You can't control the whole state by a single agency. You have to have a co-management system. That's the only way it's going to work. In that, I agree with Sidney Huntington. You can't control the migration of wildlife. They're going to fly over your country, whether it's federal, state, or Indian country. And wherever that wildlife or fish and game go, who's got control of it? You need a co-management system. That's the only way it's going to make sense. Previously, a speaker said, if the legislature doesn't act by May of 1998, then this whole hunting, fishing, trapping issue is going to be put on hold till the next December. Well, that doesn't do the people of Alaska any good. They're crying for a solution now, and you're not giving it to them. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Could we have the next person there?
Yeah. Yes, this is Walter Stickman. I'm a tribal council member and a very a person of the state of Alaska. As more people talk about this so-called subsistence, I see a civil war starting between the urban versus rural, the moose hunters versus the antler hunters, sport fishing versus local use, commercial use, or living our lifestyle. The native versus non-native, that's being used in the words of the way your task force is run. The way we get our food compared to people in the big cities, they get theirs another way. Our local use, regional use, state use, federal use, we all live our lifestyle different ways. We get our food different way than other people do. They have stores. The poor people, they got to get welfare, but that's being wiped out by the government, federal government. The rich people, they got all the money. They can talk all they want. They can afford to go to the States, to the Juno, especially where we can't walk there. The ones with more population will get more than any area with less population. It always has been and always will be like that. The moose, they have no, they're being like the buffalo now, how they were wiped out. That's what's happening now. More people are killing moose than anything else. They're bringing back antlers, but where's the moose meat? The seasons, they don't know nothing. The moose, they don't know what seasons mean. They know it gets cold and warm. That's about it. Canada versus the United States fishing, well, that's another civil war right there. The animals have no choice of where they live. That is why local control of who uses what and our lands and our local government is managing it. We're trying our best as we can. We make choices of how we live, our freedom. We are told how to do things. That's dictatorship. We're being told how we to hunt. That's not right. People are voted by more people, and they don't understand how we live out there, especially the Chugiak area. I know. I've lived that area. I used to go to school in East Anchorage when I was before Anilka came around. I used to live there with minorities. They understood how we were being called different names. I was a savage. I'm still a savage, really, because I'm a wildlife. Use my words, whatever you. Just like I believe, like Sidney. He's true in what he say. He knows what he's talking about because he lives it. He don't sit in an office way off in Juneau and put it in whatever the scientists say this and say that. Biologists do this, do that. He lives the life. He understands it. He should be the governor. Thank you.
Sidney accepts the nomination. Could we have the next person there? Or do we have anyone else there?
This is Simeon Mountain. First, today when they asked me see if I can speak. I tried to prepare, you know, what I was going to say. I was wondering, what would I say? Then I thought to myself that I was just going to go through the seasons, how I subsistence and how other people subsistence, like for fishing, hunting, and things like this. But then I think I changed my mind because it would take too long. Anyway, first, land claims used to scare me because I didn't understand what they're talking about. And the first time I start hearing about subsistence, it started worrying me too. And it's getting me more worried now that it sounds like they're going to be closing the door or tell us which way we have to subsistence. We go out into the woods and we get our meat, moose, grouse or rabbits or whatever it is, and we get only what we need. We don't get more than we need. We save some for next year or for other people. Same way with fish. I fought for that drifting. They told us we were going to get 100, 200 kings. Who is going to get 100, 200 kings deliberately? You get only what you could work at. So we get 20 kings, and we go back to our wherever we cut the fish and we work at it. And by the time we get through working at 20 fish, we're pretty tired. We might take 5-6 hours off and then go out again. Now, all of us, all the people around here, we work at King Salmon. We have King Salmon trips. We have whole kings. We put away canned salmon and everything else like that. And even if you took half of it away from us, it would be harder on us, like Walter said a while ago, you know, you're cutting off the welfare and all this, and you make it harder on everybody. Thank you.
Do we have anyone else there to testify? If not, we'll come back to Galena.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, my name is Shirley Kriska, and my main concern is I have 14 and 15-year-old sons, and there's nothing much to amuse them in the village. So what they do is they, like, go out and trap, and they even snare rabbits, and they go fishing and stuff. And then if this subsistence stops, then what's going to happen to them? Are you going to come in, bring arcades and piano lessons and all this other stuff? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else there to testify, or can we come back to Alina?
Yeah. Nobody else?
Thank you. Let's go to Edna Peters here in Galena.
Mostly also has three more people waiting, too, so when you get a chance.
Okay, we have probably 30 waiting here in Galena, so we're going to take testimony in Galena for a while now, and then we'll come back to you.
I've lived in Ruby for the past 8 years.
Thank you, Edna, for your testimony, and I know that you did come at a great expense, your own personal expense of leaving your family, the village, the airfare, per diem, all of that to come here on your own. And while you did mention that we spoke about the need for dust control, the educational problems in the village in Ruby, the health clinic, situations with the honey buckets, and the waste disposal. What you didn't say is that my answer to you was to all of the council members and those community members that were in attendance, that my answer to you was that it looks extremely bleak, that I cannot say that we will prevent or to do much about the dust control where children, babies, elders are being sick from inhaling all those dust particles, that we will see the outhouse in a museum, that education, the quality of education for your children in Ruby is going to be the top quality of education, or that you'll see a new health clinic that you didn't have to have in Ruby, where I went into the clinic, where there was three health aides in one room, that I could hear everything that was said to the client, the person coming in for services, that there was heaters all over because there was inadequate heat, that it sounds bleak, and I didn't paint you a pretty picture for improving that. And so when you talk about subsistence and the need for it to go to the vote, I think that maybe that might be one ray of hope that we've got out there. But Bossy, for spending your money to come here today.
Thank you. Carl Knudsen? Daryl Walker.
Sarah, I just want to say that I'm glad you said, will you gentlemen stand in the way of doing that, not include lady and gentlemen. Thank you.
Carl Giroux.
real quick. In Anvik, is the traditional values and the cultural values still ongoing in Anvik?
Yes, it is. Very strong.
Thank you. The next person is Gabe Sam. Adrian Blatchford. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Marie Chicklet.
Thank you. I guess we'll keep going. I would say that goose management is a federal matter. States are preempted in the East. George Yaska. Regulation.
Bill may go out and come back and find what he sees.
Senator Taylor. I've repeatedly heard over and over throughout the hearings about subsistence being taken away. There is nothing today pending in the state legislature, or has there been in the 13 years that I've been there, that would take away subsistence. Nothing. If, in fact, legislature were to do nothing, is that what you're advocating? Is that we should do something to prevent the federal government from taking away subsistence? Or am I missing that?
I know that frustration.
No, that's kind of what Sydney was talking about, and I agree completely with what Sydney said. I think we're doing a terrible job of game management in Alaska today, period. We're wasting an awful lot of time on something that nobody, as far as I know, wants to change. I mean, every single member of this panel has said repeatedly, publicly, we believe subsistence is a universal, inalienable right, period. I don't know anybody up here that wants to change it. I absolutely don't know a single person in the legislature who wants to do anything to take away subsistence rights to people who need subsistence. I haven't met that person. That's why I guess I'm confused, because I didn't think when Mr. Mayo talked, he said that he thought that the amendment was kind of was a good catalyst, maybe a good starting point, but couldn't really say he supported it at this point. And yet a whole bunch of people have said we need to vote on it this fall. Well, you want us to vote on that one? Do you have recommendations you want to make on a better one or a different one, or where do we go from there, George, I guess is what I'm saying. That's not the governor's. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, because I am a member of this panel, and so I don't want anyone in the listening audience or anyone here to misunderstand what was just said, that as far as subsistence go, are we as a legislature denying anyone their subsistence rights? By not having a rural preference, yes, we will be denying people their subsistence rights. It is in time of shortage, and I believe that rural preference is the only way to go. That if we say, and I believe, and I hope I'm not misquoting Senator Taylor, but I believe Senator Taylor's stand is for a subsistence preference for all Alaskans because it is a human right. Is that right?
But that's AFN's position. It's the beginning of their seven basic
principles. It's a way of life, but that there's a difference that we have because